Bibles this evening to the book of Ezekiel in chapter 16. Book of Ezekiel in chapter 16. Shall we pray? Dear gracious Heavenly Father, we once again are thankful to be able to assemble together in our house and to have sung these songs of praise unto our great God and Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank you, dear Heavenly Father, for the word that you have left for us, and in it is revealed what you desire us to know. But we also know, dear Heavenly Father, that we cannot know truly your word, because it's your word, unless your Holy Spirit teaches us. So tonight, dear Heavenly Father, as we look into this portion of Scripture, we ask that you would open our hearts and our understanding to receive your word. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. In this 16th chapter of the book of Ezekiel, we have been looking at point Roman numeral number 2. Consider what thy God hath done for you. And after going through the opening section of it, where he presented to them their birth and their nativity and who their parents were, in the deplorable and despicable condition that they were in, we come to verse 6. And last week we began to consider, he looked upon her with love and with kindness, with compassion. And what love he manifested to her, it wasn't just words from his mouth, but he, in this look of love that he looked upon her with, we see some things that he did for her. We'll see some things that he did for her because he loved her. But last week, as we looked at it, we said it was the kindness and love of God, our Savior, that sent Christ to redeem us, from our sin. John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. We also noted that those who would believe were ordained by God from the before the foundation of the world unto eternal life. The book of Acts chapter 13 and verse 48 tells us that. And all those that were ordained unto eternal life before the foundation of the world, they will believe at that some point in time in their life when the gospel is preached, the Holy Spirit of God pricked them, make them alive, and they become new creatures in Christ Jesus. We said also that it was the love and kindness of God that sent the Spirit to do just that, to quicken us, to make us alive, to bring us from condemnation unto life. We looked at John chapter 6 and verse 63, where Jesus said, "It is the Spirit that quickeneth, it is the Spirit that maketh alive. The flesh profiteth nothing." What's that? What did that tell us? Well, that tells us that all the works that we do will be to no avail. They profit nothing. It is the Spirit that must quicken. It is the Spirit that must make alive. That's where we left off last week. I want to finish the thought. It is the love and kindness of God that not only sent the Spirit to bring us from condemnation, to make us alive unto God, to make us alive in Christ Jesus, but it is the love and kindness of God that sends the Spirit to sanctify us. Turn with me to the book of Romans. The book of Romans in chapter 8. And a very familiar verse, verse 29, we want to look at. We love verse 28, that probably most can quote that, and we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose, for whom he did foreknow. That is, he knew them beforehand. And how did he know them? He knew them intimately. He knew us in love. As Jeremiah chapter 31 and verse 3 tells us, "Yea, I have loved thee with an everlasting love, with an eternal love." But those whom he loved beforehand, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son. Listen, there is sanctification. There is sanctification before the foundation of the world. Those whom God loved, he sanctified. He set them apart to be conformed to the image of his dear Son. So, this thing of sanctification is not only in our lifetime, and praise God it is in our lifetime, but it was before the foundation of the world we were set apart to be holy, to be conformed to the image of his dear Son, who is holy, holy and undefiled and harmless for men. So now turn with me to the book of John. The book of John. And see the work of the Holy Spirit and sanctification in our life. John chapter 14 and verse 26. But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance whatsoever I have said unto you. There is the work of the Holy Spirit in sanctification. He will teach you all things. And what is the purpose of Him teaching us all things? It is the work of sanctification for us to be sanctified and to be made holy. We must know this word. And we must be obedient to this word. And we must glory in this word. And yes, we are yet in these fleshly bodies. And so we're hampered. But the scripture talks about this veil of flesh we're in. And even the things that we know, we only know in part. There's no man that knoweth anything yet as he ought to know. Well, praise God for what we do know. Praise God for what we do understand. And what we know this, one day we're going to know more and we're going to know it better. We're going to know it more fully. And right now it is the work of the Holy Spirit down here to teach us the Word of God. As we read it, as we study it, as we hear it proclaimed and preached, the Holy Spirit will teach us if we have applied ourselves unto it. The 15th chapter, in verse 26, John chapter 15, verse 26. But when the Comforter, who's the Comforter? The Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit of God. But when the Comforter is come, whom I will send unto you from the Father, even the Spirit of truth. Why do you suppose it's called the Spirit of truth here? Because it's the Spirit of God. It's the Holy Spirit of God. Is not God truth? Is not Jesus Christ truth? His Spirit also is truth. Will not lead us into a lie. Will not teach us that which is not true. That's why we say when two men have opposing views of a passage of Scripture, you can be well assured one of them's wrong. And it might be both of them. But you can't both be right. You know one of you is wrong. And it is the Holy Spirit. We must go to the Word of God, and the Holy Spirit teaches us the Word of God. But when the Comforter is come, whom I send unto you from the Father, even the Spirit of truth, which proceedeth from the Father, he shall testify of me. There's another sanctifying aspect of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit testifies of the Father. The Holy Spirit testifies of the Lord Jesus Christ. What does that tell us about those who worship the Holy Spirit? What's that tell us about those who believe and teach that you got to get in the Spirit? The Spirit doesn't exalt itself. The Spirit exalts the Lord Jesus Christ. And that is a work of sanctification that the Holy Spirit does in the lives of those whom He quickens, you see. Go with me now to the 16th chapter. 16th chapter. And look with me here at verse 7. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is expedient for you that I go away. For if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you. We could stop right there. I gather from what has been said that it was necessary, it was very important that the Comforter come, that the Holy Spirit come. And for the Holy Spirit to come, Jesus had to go away, he says here in this verse. But if I depart, I will send him unto you. So Jesus says he's going to send the Spirit unto them, unto the church. And when he come, he will reprove the world of sin, of righteousness, and of judgment. That's the work of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit convicts of sin. It convicts of righteousness. It convicts of judgment, true judgment. It tells us that our righteousnesses are as filthy rags. He tells us that we must have the righteousness of God, and that the righteousness of God comes to us by faith. The faith of Jesus Christ. Belief in the shed blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, convicting us of our lost and sinful condition. He shows us our need for true righteousness, the righteousness of God, and the just judgment of God. Of righteousness, because I go to my Father, and you see me no more. I skip verse 9. Of sin, because they believe not on me. Those who do not believe, they need to be convicted of their sin. Of righteousness, because I go to my Father, and you see me no more. Jesus Christ is the righteousness of God manifested. You see, of judgment, because the prince of this world is judged. Look at verse 13. He said, howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth. For he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will show you things to come. All these things in these few verses here are a sanctifying aspect of the work of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit sanctifies us in this great endeavor. Thank God. Thank God for sending His Spirit to sanctify us, His Spirit to make us holy. And that work of making us holy involved the convicting of sin. It involved the convicting us of true righteousness and true judgment. Turn with me to the book of 1 Peter. The book of 1 Peter, in chapter 1. Elect according to the foreknowledge of God the Father through sanctification of the Spirit unto obedience and sprinkling of the blood of Jesus Christ. Grace unto you and peace be multiplied. Did you see that? Elect according to the foreknowledge of God the Father through the sanctification of the Spirit. Praise God. He sanctified me before the foundation of the world. He set me apart. Set me apart because He loved me. He set me apart to be holy, to be conformed to the image of His dear Son, And praise God, His Holy Spirit continues that work of the Holy Spirit. God quickened me and made me alive at that appointed time. Praise God. He's not left me alone. All times in my life when I thought I was left alone. But no, He was there. It was my own rebellion that was being stubborn and rebellious, not wanting to heed His leading, His instructions, and the preaching of the Word. But praise God, He didn't leave me that way. He didn't leave me in my rebellion. But one day, the chastising hand of God came upon me and turned me from my rebellion and my sin. Turned me back unto Him. Praise God. Sanctifying work of the Holy Spirit of God. He works in us. He pricks our heart, our mind. He teaches us what is true. He teaches us what is wrong. He teaches us how to get right. He teaches us how to stay right. Praise God. For the sanctifying work of the Holy Spirit. Turn with me to 2 Thessalonians. 2 Thessalonians in chapter 2. Look with me here at verse 13. But we are bound to give thanks always to God for you, brethren, beloved of the Lord, because God hath from the beginning chosen you to salvation through sanctification of the Spirit. You see, through sanctification of the Spirit and belief of the truth. It was necessary. The work of the Holy Spirit is necessary in the life of a believer. The work of the Holy Spirit is necessary for us to become a believer. The work of the Holy Spirit is necessary in the life of a believer. And thereby we give evidence, because of His working in us, we give evidence that we are the children of God. And not imposters. You see, praise God that His love and kindness sent to us the Holy Spirit to sanctify us, to do that work of conforming us to the image of His dear Son. That was a time of love. Time of love. Well, the time of love was actually carried out in council halls of eternity before the foundation of the world. But I didn't know about it. I didn't know about it till He manifested that love to me. So it was a time of love indeed, when God manifested His love to us. It was a time of love indeed when God manifested His love to Israel, to Jerusalem, when He looked upon her in her condition. And He loved her. And look what He did for her. Turn with me to the book of Solomon. The book of Solomon, Song of Solomon, chapter 8, look at verse 10. I am a wall. Yes, there was a wall firmly planted around Jerusalem. And my breasts like towers. Yes, when she grew into maturity. Then was I in his eyes as one that found favor. This word favor here is really no kin to grace. Many times, especially in the New Testament, we'll find favor, and it's the same Greek word translated grace. But this is grace. He said, then I found peace, shalom. That's what this Hebrew word is here. It's shalom. And it goes to peace. What peace? Time of peace. When God love was manifested to us, it was a time of peace. We had, for the first time in my life, I had peace with God. You see, before that day in 1974, I was an enmity with God. I was an enemy of God's. But after he manifested his love to me, then quickening me, making me alive, having convicted me of sin, and convicted me of true righteousness, true judgment, I was at peace. I was at peace with God. Thank God I'm at peace with God. You see, there's two pieces. There's peace with God, and there's a peace of God. And from that day of salvation to the time we go to be with Him, we have the peace with God. That doesn't change. Always that peace with God. But the peace of God, that changes. That can change from moment to moment. It can change from day to day. It's based on whether we are obedient to the Word of God, obey His commands, or whether we disobey His commands. And when we disobey His commands, we don't have the peace of God. We don't have the peace of God in our hearts when we're living in sin. And so, thank God, I'm at peace with God. Most of the time, well, I experience the peace of God. But sometimes I don't experience the peace of God. I'm a wall. My breasts like towers. Then was I in his eyes as one that found favor. Oh, I'm glad. I'm glad that Jerusalem found favor with God. We're learning about that in the book of Ezekiel and chapter 16. But I'm glad tonight that I found favor. I'm glad tonight that His church has the peace with God. His church has found favor in his sight. And in the book of Solomon, Song of Solomon, we know that has much direct implication to the bridegroom and the bride. The bridegroom and the bride. God, the bridegroom, Israel, the bride. Typology, Jesus Christ, the bridegroom, and his church, the bride. Song of Solomon's a wonderful book. Oh, that I could understand it better. Ezekiel chapter 16. We'll read verses 6 through 14. And then we'll close. I intended to read verses 6 through 8 before it got started, but I got started and didn't read them. So, verse 6. And when I passed by, God saying that to Ezekiel, the message Ezekiel is to deliver to Jerusalem, to Israel. And when I passed by thee and saw thee polluted in thine own blood, I said unto thee, when thou wast in thy blood, live. Yea, I said unto thee, when thou wast in thy blood, live. I have caused thee to multiply as the bud of the field, and thou hast increased, waxing great, and thou art come to excellent ornaments. Thy breasts are fashioned, and thine hair is grown, whereas thou wast naked and bare. Now when I passed by thee and looked upon thee, behold, thy time was the time of love. And I spread my skirt over thee and covered thy nakedness. Yea, I swore unto thee and entered into a covenant with thee, saith the Lord God, and thou camest mine. Then washed I thee with water. Yea, I thoroughly washed away thy blood from thee, and I anointed thee with oil. I clothed thee also with broidered work, shod thee with badger skin. And I girded thee about with fine linen, and I covered thee with silk. I decked thee also with ornaments, and I put bracelets upon thy hands, and a chain on thy neck. And I put a jewel on thy forehead, and earrings in thine ears, and a beautiful crown upon thine head. I just explain something to you. Quickly here concerning verse 12. The word jewels there is properly ring, a nose ring. So I put a ring in thy nose. That forehead there is proper translation is nose. So he put a ring nose on her. Verse 13, thus wast thou decked with gold and silver, and thy raiment was of fine linen and silk and embroidered work. Thou didst eat fine flour and honey and oil, and thou wast exceeding beautiful, and thou didst prosper into a kingdom. And thy renown went forth among the heathen for thy beauty, for it was perfect through my holiness, which I had put upon thee, saith the Lord God. What a wonderful and marvelous thing he did for Jerusalem, for Israel. What a wonderful and a marvelous thing he has done for me. Well, we'll close there.